Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
I am told that the sea is a massive thing, that one could die just wondering its vastness. While we have no such thing in my homeland of Barovia, I am well aware of the feelings of isolation that a place without walls can conjure. For we are the prisoners of one Strahd von Zarovich. I will slay this vampire so that my people may once more breathe free in the sunshine.
It's clockwork mouth? Opens, and then trying to lunge at you, it can't get close enough, and you just hear the clang of the spring trap snapping
shut. Like a mouse trap.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, that's awful.
The corpse, it's in a state in between living and death. If you're able to reactivate it psychically, its every movement will be agony.
Okay.
Bigfoot Paul starts charging his way up onto the ramparts to help you fight the monster.
Cool.
It attacks Bigfoot Paul.
Paul, what are you doing?
Not Bigfoot Paul.
He's pinned.
My paramour.
All it takes.
It's all it takes.
A little uprising.
Yeah, a little an uprising that presses Pip's buttons, clearly.
Bigfoot Paul takes 27 points of damage.
Oh, fuck.
Paul, no.
It slashes into his side. He doesn't make any... Actually, Pip... You could see just a slight grimace on his face of pain, but only because you know him so well.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Otherwise, no one would have been able to notice. That was the monster's turn. A bunch of the rebels aim up. Anyone who has a ranged weapon fires at the monster, but they harmlessly bounce off. These people cannot cause damage to it. It's Esme's turn. Esme, from down below, is going to throw a ball of fire.
Ooh.
Her bolt of flames, unfortunately, because she's got a bad angle, she does the same thing that Hector did, but on the other side.
Yeah.
She burns away, she slags some of the stonework, but she doesn't otherwise do anything, unfortunately. Heck, it's your turn.
Can I get up there, or can I have a clear
range?
That's
your turn.
That's all right. I'll dash up there.
Okay, you dash up, you're standing next to Bigfoot Paul.
Okay.
He turns to you and just gives you a curt nod. It's just professionalism right now. Whether or not you have any shit with this guy, it's not important right now. Yeah.
My beef isn't with Paul.
Yeah.
I'm just a bystander. We're both being caught up in this guy's bullshit.
Yeah.
We're kindred spirits.
Absolutely.
Not as much as say, like, I don't know, maybe him and Keenan.
Yeah.
No.
Him and Keenan.
Hang on. No. We've all been betrayed a bit by... A knowing look passes between the two of us, I feel.
Van Richten pulls at his temple and drags from his temple a shard of pure thought, gives a little flip, and imagine he's pulling it, it's like a worm, but when he gives a little flick, it becomes like a dagger. He throws that at the creature, it homes in on it, and slams into the monster's head. The monster takes 3d6 psychic damage.
He's doing it.
10 points of psychic damage. The creature takes both of its claws, grabs its head, and then screams in pain.
God damn.
Oy.
That was Van Richten's turn. Pip, it's your turn. It begins bleeding.
Oh, no.
Construct.
I put it down, Adam.
Plug, plug. One of them is a critical hit, so nice. This is very likely to
be the end of this.
Disarmed, double damage, and make a... Yeah, you kill it.
Okay. Twang, twang.
All right. You put another one down. There's only an army left.
Yeah, exactly.
Bigfoot Paul.
Let me see your cheek, I say. I'd like to take Bigfoot Paul's head in my hands and just make sure he's okay.
He hesitates, but then he turns and shows you his cheek.
I know.
He shows the other cheek.
He turns the other cheek.
Yeah.
He's the sort of Christ of this adventure. Bigfoot Christ, you could call him.
fuck me. That's good shit.
Does he seem like Does he seem like maybe like infected in any way? I don't know what these things are necessarily capable of.
No.
Okay, that's fine. I got no healing magic. I just wanted to check.
Thanks, he says.
Yeah, don't mention it. What's the situation here? We've just, yeah.
What's happening?
Well, we haven't made any sort of attempt on the abattoir or church or whatever. But Piran said he had Sheriff Stryker. We tried to keep it contained. We were supposed to be just a distraction.
Yeah.
But
got out of hand.
The Burgomaster got involved. We weren't expecting that. The entire town turned against us.
So we killed the Burgomaster.
Apparently you didn't.
We didn't.
Apparently you didn't.
They're back?
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's Piran now?
Well, last I heard, he was dealing with the sheriff.
Where's the Burgomaster?
Burgomaster's leading the defense, but south here at the fine end.
At where?
Tavern's among their last holdouts. We're doing pretty well. First thing, we knocked over the general store, took as much inventory as we could. Some adventurers are on our side, some are not.
Right.
Where do you need us?
Yeah.
You best come with me. It's been a while since Piran and Iona were supposed to get back to us by now. I'm a bit worried.
Iona? Where's Iris? The little girl.
The little girl
that Iona had.
Something she apparently wasn't feeling well. I didn't fully understand it, but when Iona speaks, people listen. So I just went along with what she said.
Where's and Iona is with Piran?
Yeah.
And they were...
They were supposed to be... We're supposed to lead everyone away, and then the two of them were supposed to take care of the sheriff.
Okay,
lead the way.
We're going to have to take a bit of a wide berth. Like I said, a fine end's last holdout, and it's on the way. We'll get caught up in the conflagration there if we don't take a wider berth, I suppose.
Yeah, understood.
You take the long way round Vagabond. The streets are alternatingly very busy or very empty.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, or, wow.
Concurrently.
Not even.
Prior?
Yesterday.
This morning.
Oh.
What little sun this land sees peers through the gaps in John Cavendish's shack. With a moan, he brings his hand up to his face to block out the light. His head still pounding from last night, John shifts to a sitting position and puts his head in his hands for a long moment, and in a manner not dissimilar to Pip, he is just still, remembering an old song he used to play on the piano. As the many other beings living in the ramshackle huts around him also wake for another long day, John stands with a sigh. The first port of call is the local well. No matter what time John arrives, every day he must wait in line. The shells of adventurers reeking of long-lost bravado and camaraderie in front and behind him, standing like forlorn ghosts. With a few notable exceptions. John, on purpose, isn't looking at them. But some adventurers... There's a murmur through the crowd. Something's happening. But John doesn't care. A bucket of water in hand, he splashes his face and gazes up at the abattoir, smoke belching from metal pipes. The wind carries the smoke across town to Vagabond, where it snows black and red. The stench of burnt meat singes the nostrils. Trudging through the black and bloody snow, John makes his way east to get in line for a job. If he arrives quickly enough, perhaps there will be a few tenderizer jobs left. It's the furthest from the end of the line, it's the safest and the least smelly. But the work needs to be fast. The sign across from the tenderizer station is burned into his memory, as well as the face of his father. Lose time, lose pay. The guard stamps John's work card. The next gives him his job. Switch staff. Not his favorite, not the worst. The entire day at the abattoir, John... sees but doesn't actually look at every now and then a few of the tenderizing hammers, maybe a couple of the butcher's blades. Some things just aren't returned. Some things just get hidden in clothing.
Interesting.
But that's not for John to know about. He trudges through the snow back to the fine end. His feet ache and his hands are raw red. Gloves. He says to himself as he just looks at his destroyed hands. A tiefling child rushes past John, nearly bowling herself over. Zoe! Stop her! Spy! Four guards, hot on the girl's heels, peel around the corner. John looks at the girl and the girl looks at John. Recognition flashes in his eyes. She's one of Piran's ears, quote unquote. Go home, John mutters to the girl. Terrified, she sprints away. Puffing and out of breath, the guards reach John. Didn't even try and stop her! John shrugs and shows the guards his destroyed and mangled hands. I simply couldn't have even if I wanted to. The lead guard, a woman with no cheeks or eyelids, pushes her face into John's. You best be careful. Today aren't the day to fuck with us. Eyeing John up and down, the woman turns to her companions. Why exactly did she run to you? Passing on a secret message, perhaps? Been going all through Vagabond today? John watches as the guards tighten the grips on their batons. He looks into her eyes, and now all he can see is the stockade for resisting arrest. He isn't fighting four guards, he's fighting Barovia. The thought exhausts him more than switch work. No, ma'am. There is no warning. The baton strikes John in the side of his head. You're in luck. The first spying offense is only a beating. No cheeks cackles. And maybe a day's worth of pay in fines. Their stance changes. He's about to receive a beatdown. Considering his tactical options, John chooses to retreat into fantasy. John Cavendish is riding a horse. Yesterday was his 18th name day, and today is one of the finest days of his life. Ophelia rides beside him on her mare. "'Tis a silly hat," she chides him with a smile. "'Uncle Hartley says it was once high elven fashion, handed down from generation to generation, each one adding another feather to the plume. Your Uncle Hartley says many things.' Ophelia casts John a glance from beneath her bonnet. "'And he wears exclusively stupid hats. Perhaps I need a new one, then.' In a quick motion, John Cavendish casts his horse into a gallop and snatches that bonnet right off Ophelia's head. This one is quite nice. Ophelia screams in surprise, but also delight. She too sets her horse into a gallop and the chase is on.
Oh, John, you cad.
Ophelia's delighted screams echo through John's head, bouncing off the walls of his mind and slowly turning into screams of terror. Blearily getting to his feet, John follows the noise to find Piran sprinting away from Sheriff Stroika's house and Iona's stricken face in the window. Erstwhile, the two of you, plus Bigfoot Paul, plus Esme, plus Van Richten. Is that everyone? Yeah.
A golem, I guess.
No, the golem's
upstairs. No, he's upstairs. Yeah, upstairs.
Yeah. Van Richten is...
He's upstairs.
Yeah, Van Richten's scared of getting him now.
And yeah, makes sense. Off.
And I would probably assume a slowly growing collective of miscreants and adventurers.
Yeah, sure.
Just a ragtag group of rebels, if you will.
Yep.
Begin collecting behind you as you make your way the long way through Kuchery to get to Sheriff Stroika's house.
Mm-hmm.
On your way, you bump into, heading north, also with a group of people, but much smaller, you bump into Piran.
Ah! Piran.
You're quite close to Sheriff Stroika's house at the moment.
What is happening?
Is it done?
No, but I'm glad you're here, he says.
Okay.
Where's Iona? Where's Iris?
They're trapped in Sheriff Stroika's house.
I start just almost like running past him.
Pip, you must understand.
What?
There wasn't much I could do.
Honestly, there's no time for me to process that. I'll push past him and chase Hector.
Okay.
Not chase, but follow Hector.
So Sheriff Stroika's house is freestanding, but part of a block of other buildings, if you kind of understand. So it's not touching any other building, but the roads or the attempts in Kuchery at roads clearly mark it as part of a larger block with other buildings. So with all of these other buildings nearby on flames, and with Piran's kind of vague description of what awful events have transpired.
I'm wondering who's dead.
Yeah, you absolutely. It's a heaviness in your heart as you round the corner.
You can see that the flames have begun licking their way along Sheriff Stroika's lawn and have started making their way to the building. The building has not begun to catch fire yet, but it is not soon from catching fire. Mm-hmm. The first thing you... you'll both need to make perception checks.
Okay.
Hector, you're too engrossed in something else that I'm about to say, so you don't spot this. But Pip, you spot in the grass... a bunch of very
snakes?
Well, very short somethings running out.
Oh no, dude.
Little guys.
you don't know what they are.
Yeah.
You just know that little somethings are running away from the building.
Okay.
As the flames begin to curl at it.
How far away am I from the house? Because I want to cast protection of from evil and good on myself, but it's a 10-minute thing, so I don't want it to like.
You have less than 10 minutes to get there. Yeah, okay. You're maybe a minute from getting to the building. Right. Yeah, well, cool. You're not far.
Sweet. Well, I'll as I'm walking, I'm casting that.
The thing that both of you see, don't need to make a check for this, is both of you can see John Cavendish looking. Pretty messed up, actually. He's wearing, you can see he's got that really nice shirt that you spotted him wearing the first time you saw him. He's got that, but no coat. And in the snow, he must be freezing.
Yeah.
He looks, you can see he's got a few bruises and he's bleeding from his nose. It looks like he's been through the ringer. It looks like someone gave him a pretty hefty beating.
Doffed him up. Yeah.
He's only wearing one boot. His trousers are always a bit ragged.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can see that it looks like he lost a fight very recently.
Okay.
And up on the second story to Stroika's house has a, I don't know how to describe it. It's got like a roof where a veranda is.
Oh, yeah.
So one can stand out. You can get out of a window on the second story and stand on roof. Does that make sense?
Yes, kind of. Yeah.
Okay. You can see one of these windows is open and... Iona is dragging Iris out of the building. As she does this, she throws spell after spell back into the building.
Okay.
You are running. Sprinting. Yeah. It's going to take you, though, like I said, about a minute to get to this encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can I climb up?
Well, when you get there,
yes. Okay, sure.
Give me a sec.
Okay.
In the time it takes to get there, you're sprinting as fast as you can. Yeah.
I was like, okay, cast it, like, channel divinity. Actually, first off, divine sense about undead and anything
This is more than 60 feet away, so divine sense will not help you here.
Okay, never mind then.
You both make athletics checks to keep sprinting.
Mm-hmm.
And Pip, you're fine. Mm-hmm. Hector, do you have something for an athletics check?
We do,
I think. A strength check?
No, we don't. We've only got dex and wisdom.
Yeah, unfortunately, I get another bad boy card.
Oh, no.
I stumble.
Yeah, you fall way behind. Lose a gold piece. A player loses a gold piece, player's choice. One of you lose a gold piece.
Okay.
You pick.
Okay, whatever. I'll do it.
Mark it off. Yeah,
that gold we didn't grab from before, there's gone.
No, you didn't grab it, if you'll recall.
Adam, you're right. Yes, on my very thorough list of all my gold...
Yep.
Don't go into arrears, Jackson. That's how calculating errors happen. That's going into negatives in a game system is how you get a nuclear gun.
I definitely have a mic, a little inventory Excel thing that I have. We have 225 coins of just different mintings.
Oh, okay.
So I think we have 224 gold.
Yeah, okay.
Of coins of different mintings.
Okay, anyway, heck, you stumble.
Mm-hmm.
Pip, do you slow down for him?
I think the building looks like it's about to catch fire, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So Pip's aware that he's resistant to that. So Pip's kind of...
If I stumble and you slow, I'm like, go.
Yeah, okay. I'll keep going.
You can see Iona is just barely keeping ahead of, now you see them, puppets.
Oh, fuck.
You ever have you ever accidentally opened a hole into an anthill?
Oh no, Adam. Oh no.
They begin crawling out of the tumbling, if you will, out of the window like you've accidentally
we've hassled the hornet's nest.
Yeah, the metaphorical hornet's nest.
Fuck.
Then
the stream of puppets stops for a second, and it's the most fucked thing you've ever seen. There is a person, a chambermaid, is forcing their way through the window like they're unaccustomed to using a body.
No.
They're forcing their way through, like, belly first.
Oh, God.
They fall, collapse out onto the roof, and then the puppet stream continues.
Is the puppets, like, they're escaping the house?
Half escaping, half attacking. Yeah, half escaping, half attacking.
They'll attack on the way if they can.
Yeah. Iona is doing her darndest to keep them at bay, but they're getting closer and closer. You can see, as well, that Iris is bleeding very heavily.
Can I see that she's further haggified as well?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's very obvious. Okay. Her arms and legs are about as long as they would be once the transformation is finished.
Am I on the rooftop?
No. You're not even at the building yet.
Cool.
Pip, by the time... Hector, you're the only one falling behind. with the exception of Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. So Bigfoot is still next to you. And it looks like he is on purpose staying with you so that no one gets separated from a larger group. But both Esme and Van Richten pull ahead of you. Yeah,
dude, that sucks.
Esme on one leg and Van Richten at the tender age of 500 both pull ahead of
you. What the hell? I meant to be good at this.
But yeah, Bigfoot Paul stays with you.
Okay, wow.
So, Pip.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the building, Iona, looking down at Cavendish, has thrown Iris off side of the building.
Okay.
And John Cavendish, not expecting... John Cavendish, from his position, he could tell that Iona was in trouble.
But did not expect the hag, baby.
Is not expecting Iris. So you see a moment of like, oh no, over his face. And then he instinctively catches Iris.
Okay, good.
All right,
good,
and then we're going to go to initiative.
Cool. Good stuff. Oh, Hector's not going to like the state Iris is in. Hector's not going to like that. Fuck.
I just think, like, you know, if anything happens, whatever, I'm like, how does one instantly take it like a dip in barbarian? I don't know. Yeah. How does one go into a rage level one paladin?
That would be such an unexpected turn if your next level was into barbarian. That would be awesome,
It's just like, he's teetered on the edge. I just think this might teeter him over.
This might tip him over. It might tip him over.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's Kuchri might burn down. Yeah. I don't know.
We might be stopping Hector this adventure to protect sweet Kuchri.
All right, the poppers go first.
Fuck.
Pip.
Oh, fuck.
I've got simply terrible news.
What?
Oh, no, in the grass.
The grass around you shifts and shudders. You feel a force on your boot. You look down and you can see the little puppet of a Raggedy Ann type doll has stuffed her needle down as hard into your boot as possible, but it hasn't pierced the boot. You feel like something prick your bum. Turn around and you can see the exact same thing as happened. This doll is a little bit taller. It's a baby Bjorn type doll, plastic.
Jesus.
All right, then.
Can I?
Iona.
Can I riposte?
Yeah, if you have that action.
Yeah, can I riposte the puppet? The one that stabbed my shoe, I guess.
The Raggedy Ann? Yeah, sure.
I'm just gonna
do you have a melee weapon in your hands?
I was going to use my foot.
Okay, I'll allow that.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's like a melee in that it's like a punch.
In a manner of speaking, sure. And you step on the Raggedy Ann doll.
Okay.
It's destroyed.
I guess that's probably what gets me the prick in the bum, to be honest.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Where do you get riposte from?
I took it ages and ages and ages ago.
It's a feat.
It's a feat.
Right.
But because I use a crossbow, it has never, ever been useful for me.
No, fair enough. Okay. You can see Iona is swarmed by them. One of them manages to get through her defenses.
Oh, fuck.
She needs to make a charisma saving throw. She takes 1 point of damage.
Okay.
But you see she doesn't fall unconscious it doesn't happen.
She's not been puppetified. Mm. Okay, thank God.
That was the puppets' turn. A few of them begin tumbling off the side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And they, when they land in the grass, they
or on the lawn, just wherever they land, they just a bunch of them, just shatter and break. Yeah, okay. But okay, then good. Further start landing on top and cushioning the fall of other ones.
Okay.
There's 100, maybe. There's so many.
Fuck. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Okay.
That was the puppets' turn. It's Iona's turn. She's busting out the big guns for this one.
Oh, yeah, you simply have to, dude.
You do simply have to.
It's that or become a puppet.
She blasts one of them with fire. There's one fewer.
Okay.
And that was the big
guns. And then, she jumps.
Okay, oh boy.
Oh boy.
Pip, you hear her cry out in pain as her ankle rolls in an uncomfortable manner when she lands.
Oh, that's a shame.
But she is otherwise fine. And she's not a puppet, so.
Yeah, she's not dead. Yeah.
It's your turn, Pip.
Okay. I would like to maybe whip myself in front of Iona. And then with my crossbow, I would like to cast the spell Lightning Arrow. To fire an arrow that does 48, I'm aiming at any puppet I see, really, but then any creature within 10 feet of the target must make a dex saving throw or take 2d8 lightning damage.
Yeah. You aim almost straight up.
Yeah. Twang.
Your attack hits, and then you instantly vaporize. Yeah. You instantly vaporize that one. And then you can see parts for several others tumble over the side.
That's good. That's good.
Little arms and buttons just cascade off you.
What? I don't want to think about what would happen if a needle hit me with no puppet attached. Where would I go?
It's Esmeralda's turn. She will probably also bust out the big guns.
You got her.
Van Richten calls out to her, "Guy, come a little. What's the prognosis?" Area attack. She casts Lightning Bolt.
Nice.
A line of puppets are vaporized.
Hell yeah.
I don't think it matters if they make the saving throw or not. Van Richten is not going to cast a spell, but instead he drops to one knee. Hector, you see in front of you as he whips out a immaculate compared to Pip's alchemical set. He whips something up really quickly, arms it, and then throws. A explosion of flames takes out another little group of puppets trying to escape.
Oh, nice.
Good.
Van Richten turns to you, Hector. You head in straight for the house. Myself and the man with the big foot will keep them from escaping. And then, Hector, it's your turn.
Okay, so how far away am I from the house? What do we want to do in the house? Well, he's saying going in the house. Why am I going in the house?
Clear them out, presumably.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I just want to make. Okay. Halfway from the front door, am I? I guess.
Or you are 60 feet.
60 feet. Mm-hmm. Iris has in Cavendish's arms.
Yep.
Iona has fallen. Is there a concentration of puppets around that, like
the
that
house?
They can see. If I was to say do an AOE of a 10-foot sphere, could I get them?
What's the range on it? How far away can you hit?
60 foot.
You would need to. Well, you move closer, so you spend your movement. About 30 feet,
I'm
right?
Getting into the, like,
so you get, you close within 30 feet, and then you could target, I'd say, like, maybe 5 puppets in one burst. Okay. You can see the roof pretty well right now.
I'm just, so I could cast Shatter.
Okay.
And get those 5, or I could cast Shatter on the house.
Yeah, cast it on the balcony thing. Have
and crumple the house. Yeah. If I cast it on the house, would that cause damage to us? Or the people near.
Are you worried about collapsing the house onto you?
I'm worried about collapsing the house onto my good friends.
Yes, right. Well, that would be, I guess, it'd be a check. It would be some sort of intelligence check. I'm guessing maybe I would call it investigation. So that'll be
I'm good at that.
Plus 6. You, well, no one's underneath the balcony. The closest that anyone is probably John Cavendish holding Iris, and you think that they would be clear.
Okay.
You're a reasonable level of sure.
I guess, yeah.
More likely than not, they're clear. Yeah.
Would that take out the majority? Would that be the best move to
It'd
take
It'd kill
out
a lot of them. You don't know how many are in the house, but it feels like feels like a termite infestation. That's the vibe you're getting.
Yeah.
All right, well, so collapsing the house is probably going to kill a ton of them.
Yeah, I'm just kind of walking towards Iris as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of my main focus. And then as I'm like running towards that, casting Shatter on the house.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
If you, across these 3d8, if you deal at least 12 points of damage, you collapse the house.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a whoomp. The building collapses. And then it collapses.
Maybe as I pass Van Richten, I'm like, I've got a better idea.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I'll say with the building collapsing, to be honest, that is the majority of the puppets and the puppeted, the people who were swapped out with puppets, have been destroyed. So it's mostly cleanup from here, which under Van Richten's watchful gaze, Bigfoot Paul and the little cadre of rebels are able to pretty much mop everything up.
Nice.
So, you're free to go.
I just rush straight over to Iris.
Yeah, by the time that you get to Iris, Iona is already there, and you can see she's desperately trying to transfuse the vials of your blood into her.
What do we need? Van Richten, get on it.
Van Richten, obviously not aware of the specifics of this situation, is supervising Bigfoot Paul. You rush over to him.
I probably would have sent someone to go grab
him. Yeah, I'll grab him. Okay. Hey, get over there.
Yeah.
I'm needed, of course. What's the issue?
You're needed over there. She's been hagified. And I know you probably, I imagine, are against returning her to a normal state, but we've put a lot of effort into making sure that happens. We need your guidance.
Van Richten takes one look at her and says, well, he pauses. She is Vistani. Esme's the only Vistani in your group, so Van Richten does not have as much tact here as maybe he should. He was just a quick assessment of, is she related to anyone here?
Yes, I see.
How much might someone be hurt if he's a little curt right now? But after what you just said, he turns back to you and he says, well, worst case scenario, she won't survive.
I'd like to grab him by the cuff, like by his shirt, and pull him in. You better hope she survives, old man. All right?
Old man.
You're like 300. Get over there.
I just like instinctively hand just twitching onto the hammer. Just like,
sure.
Just do everything you can.
Of course. I'm not going to try anything other than my best.
Right, do it now. What do you need from me?
Well, give me but a moment. We'll see what we can do with what we have already at hand. Shaking one of the blood vials. Mm-hmm. You can see if, I'd say maybe 4 blood vials were created, 2 of them are cracked just from the scuffle to get off the roof. So Van Richten begins transfusing the other 2 into Iris. As he does that, you can see Iona, who is very nearby, she's got her arms wrapped around her knees. She's rocking backwards and forwards and muttering something to herself. She seems traumatized.
Is she wounded? Like, as in, like, she's pretty heavily wounded?
No, not pretty heavily wounded.
Okay. All right. I was like, does she need any sort of healing? Because I can do a quick lay on hands to help her knee.
She needs 4 hit points.
Okay.
So she'll be right. She's more of mental damage.
She's bruised, maybe. Yeah, most.
Okay.
She's just muttering a song to herself.
Okay.
Maybe as a calming mechanism.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep an eye. I'm probably going to join Bigfoot Paul and act as defense whilst the
Esmeralda joins you as well.
Whilst the transfusing of Iris occurs.
John Cavendish, who very awkwardly laid Iris down on the floor, is standing nearby while the transfusion happens. He doesn't say or do anything. He looks very, like I said, awkward, like he's not sure what to do with himself.
Yeah.
Every now and then, Hector, you see him put his hands in his pockets and then take them out of his pockets.
I start preparing? Like, I'm taking off, like, my armor? Am I, like, doing that kind of stuff? Of, like,
if you,
basically, I am preparing to be, like, what do you need me to do? I will do it right now. Like, exsanguinate, hurry up.
If you start taking off some armor, Van Richten looks over and says, oh, yes, very good, yes. Just give me but a moment. Like I said, we'll make do with what we have so far, and then we'll see what we need from there. I've never, unfortunately, never had to do such an advanced case before, but you are in luck. He's yapping away while he's not very strong, but he is nimble. So he seems very comfortable chatting to you, nattering away inanely while he's doing this, and it doesn't look like it's affected his skill at all.
Okay.
He finds a vein in one of her really long bony arms
And you see the exsanguinator, which is literally just a conical dagger, which was stabbed into Iris's neck.
Gross.
You can see he takes one look at that and gives a noise. Not how I would have done it.
Well, how would you do it? What we need?
Well, I would have preferred to do this slowly, but I suppose whoever did do it, he looks over at Iona, I suppose she didn't have a lot of options.
I guess not. We need to... I'm looking at Iris. Is it? Can we see it sort of like... Or is it sort of stuck?
Iris is pale. All the color has left her.
Yeah.
Her eyes are closed. She looks dead.
Okay.
Is there a pulse?
Instinctively want to heal, but
do you check for a pulse?
No, I'm expecting an attack from somewhere else. Yeah,
I would instinctively try to heal, but I remember Esme was like, "No magic, don't heal, don't do anything."
Mm.
So I am unfortunately going to just do nothing and just kind of follow Van Richten and be as eager as I can to just do anything.
Van Richten finishes with the second vial of blood, and then. He gestures for you. I'll need an arm.
I give him both. I'll give him the right hand.
Have you ever done something like this before?
A couple of days ago.
Well, it will feel quite similar, he says. There'll be and then as he says, pinch. Mm-hmm. You feel a pinch as he inserts the needle into your arm.
Uncast.
Yeah.
Protection of good and evil, right? Yeah.
Well, Van Richten's not evil, so as much as sometimes he might seem it, he is not evil.
Yeah. I feel it's like someone punched it over again. Again, there was no magic involved as well, right? So it kind of needs to be...
Oh, yeah, fair. Yeah. Right? Remove the magic from your body.
Yeah. Cool. All right, well, I make sure I'm not casting anything and I just cop it.
I'll get you to palpate the puncture site and also squeeze and slacken your hand. It helps the blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, he says. Very good. Raise your arm. He does a million different micro adjustments on you. And then he moves over to Iris and he does a million different micro adjustments on her. You see, there is a tube that it would be a solid rubber one, so you can't see the blood flowing, but you can almost feel the blood flowing from you into Iris. It's like a transference of life.
Okay.
He begins siphoning your blood into her.
Scanning the horizon, like through the houses, what's the situation? We're pretty vulnerable right now, is all I'm thinking.
Absolutely, yeah. Scanning around, you don't see any alive enemies, but there quite obviously was pretty heavy fighting very near here very recently. You can see one of those creatures, those monsters, is lying very dead in the mud. There is a pile of corpses all around it. Quite obviously, it took at least maybe 20 people to bring this thing down, but not before it killed 18 out of the 20.
Damn, dude.
This one looks, you spot, slightly different than the others. It's a bit, maybe half a foot taller, despite the fact that thus far, you might have noticed, thus far they have been a very consistent height.
Yeah, sure.
And you can see that it's the metallic parts of it are slightly different. It looks like a different configuration.
Yeah, okay.
Stamped on one side of it, you see M24-F, and you note that everyone that you've seen previously has M23-F.
Oh, no. An upgraded model.
If you stop and spot it, Bigfoot Paul standing next to you grunts, new ones, I think. They're tougher.
Yeah, seems like this one took out like 18 people before they could take it down.
He nods.
Anything different about them, or are they just stronger in general?
Faster too, he says. Aside from that, I would watch out. Don't let them get a charge.
What do you mean a charge? Oh, if no electricity?
To run.
Oh.
Straight at you.
Right, okay. Yeah. Good to know.
If they move in fast enough of a straight line, I promise you, they look big and tough, but they hit you like something three times their weight.
God. How many have you seen?
Only a handful, but some of the people I've been speaking to say that there's a concentration of them around the abattoir, chapel, whatever.
Right. Oh, God. I think we need to go there. Well, I guess we'll just keep... I'll look back at Hector and...
To see how that's going.
Hector, you begin feeling, over the course of the next few minutes, you begin feeling weaker and weaker and weaker to the point where Van Richten needs to use his cane to prop up your arm.
Okay, that's fine. I guess rage is slowly dissipating, yeah. And it's now hopelessness and hopefulness and all mixing together.
I'm just so scared you're going to have to fight like this.
Yeah.
That's what's stressing me.
It's good. Don't worry. We'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah.
After a few minutes of draining your blood into Iris, Van Richten does something you've never seen before. And at first you think Van Richten means to kill Iris. At first you're like, oh my God, he's about to crush her chest. Indeed. As he very gingerly climbs, kind of half straddles her, puts one hand and then the other one over her chest, and then boom, boom. Boom, starts pushing into her chest forcefully.
Okay. What are you doing?
I have to get the heart beating. Keep your arm up. She's been dead for quite some time, he says.
Oh, fuck.
Eyes widen, and I again try to remember back to what Esme was saying, which was like, she needs to be cold. She needs to be basically either dying, dead, or near death. And I'm just like, trust in the process, I guess. I'll pump a little extra harder. I will just will myself into this. I will say a prayer to Penia.
As you watch, as from the site where Iris has the, from the needle site in Iris's arm, you watch as color begins to slowly spread back into her.
Okay. Do her arms shrink?
Her arms don't shrink.
Okay.
But she's starting to look alive again. All right.
Hey, that's something.
Good. Yeah. Just saying a prayer to Penia and probably even like saying a curse to Eileen. Don't you dare take her.
Sure.
A plead with her to don't you dare and a plead to Penia.
Well, such a prayer to Eileen, if you wanted to do it. Eileen, if you wanted to do it correctly, you would make a vow of vengeance against her if she did it. That's what she's the goddess of revenge. Mm. You promise revenge if she doesn't give you what you want. She likes that.
Okay. All right.
Well, but is it a real prayer?
It's not really a prayer. It's more of a threat.
Yeah,
I guess it is a prayer for her. Mm. He doesn't think it's a prayer.
No, from the perspective of Hector, it's not a. You're not really.
It's just
praying.
Like praying a Penia, and Buzz like, but if Eileen, if you fucking do,
yeah.
I'm coming after you.
That's kind of that. She counts.
That counts.
Look, funny.
As the color begins to return to her, her lips change from purple to a soft blue, then back to a healthy pinky sort of color. Mm-hmm. And as that's happening, her eyes flutter slowly open. Mm-hmm. Van Richten, you see he's leaning down next to her and he's whispering something to her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're not sure if it's a spell, a prayer, or maybe he's just making notes for himself.
Okay. My full attention is on her and not on him. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be focusing to see if she's getting better, and that's good for me.
At a certain point, your arm slumps, even with the support of the cane, your arm slumps over, you fall, Iris begins slowly leaving your vision as you begin involuntarily falling backwards. Mm-hmm. You realize that in addition to falling backwards, the world is becoming dark. Mm-hmm. Hector, you fall unconscious.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's all part of the process.
As long as she's alive.
Yeah.
Did it work? Did it work?
Trust in the process, he says, any minute now.
Okay.
Pip.
Yeah.
You see riders coming from the north.
Okay.
Bigfoot Paul puts an arm out in front of you protectively and pushes you back a little bit.
God damn it. I gently move his hand away. Friend? Foe?
You can see it's guards.
Oh, fuck. Foe.
A fight is about to occur, but then one of the guards holds up a spear with a little white flag on it.
Oh, okay.
Hail, we wish to speak to the leader.
A trap?
Where is Piran?
Oh, God. Piran?
Right here. Piran.
What the fuck?
You're not sure how long he's been with the group, but at some point he slinked into your formation.
He's always been with the group. Yeah, he's always been there.
But I wouldn't really consider myself a leader, more like a kingmaker, I suppose. Bigfoot Paul here, he's the man you want, and his faithful general, Pip Mandarin.
Don't like hearing that again.
Oh, the General Mandarin.
General Mandarin once more.
He's back.
Shoot him a dirty look, but, like, you know, I'm not going to argue about it now.
The Burgermaster wishes to make parley with you.
I look to Piran.
Piran shrugs. I didn't even know the Burgermaster was still alive.
Yeah, we found that out earlier, too. Bigfoot Paul said that the Burgermaster had returned in some capacity.
Mm.
Yeah.
Bigfoot Paul nods. He looks at Piran. And then he starts saying, what Bigfoot Paul does is, Bigfoot Paul says, not to either of you, but looking over at the guard, saying only loud enough that people in the immediate area can hear, he says, it could be a trick. Perhaps we should send someone else. Just someone I trust, I suppose. As he says that, he looks back at the two of you.
Yeah.
He eyes Piran, he eyes you, and you can see this clear conflict in his head.
Yeah. Who can you trust in this world, Bigfoot Paul?
He looks past the two of you, and now you notice as Hector falls backwards unconscious. You hear Bigfoot Paul make a noise.
I'll do it.
All right. Anything. Bigfoot Paul looks at you and he says, anything to contain bloodshed works with me, but...
Yeah, of course. There's a chance they'll stab us in the back either way.
Yes. Use your best judgment.
All right.
No, don't use your own best. Use someone else's judgment.
I do my best attempt at a smile, which is never good.
Sure.
Then I'll turn around and make my way over to the guards.